Let us pray. Dear loving and gracious Lord God, your word calls us to faith and love. Accept all we offer you this day, our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. Fill our hearts with the light of your presence. May our lips praise you, our lives proclaim your goodness, our work give you honor, and our voices celebrate you forever. Amen. I am always a little apprehensive if I'm walking in long grass or swimming in unfamiliar waters or swimming when I cannot see the bottom. And I think it has to do with what I think is an unnatural fear of snakes. Now, in some cultures, snakes are revered. In some parts of Africa, for instance, the rock python is revered and the killing of one is a serious crime. Australian Indigenous peoples associate the giant rainbow snake with the creation of life. In India, the cobra is regarded as reincarnations of important people called negras. In modern times, the medical symbol is two snakes wrapped around a staff. In the world of biblical stories, the appearance of snakes is a clue things are not going to end well. In the Garden of Eden narrative in Genesis, the snake persuades Eve to eat from the only tree that God had expressly forbidden them to. In Revelation 12:9, Satan, a fallen angel, is referred to as a serpent. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. And in today's reading from Numbers, we have a lovely, gory story of God sending fiery serpents in amongst the Hebrews. Now, there are no shortage of snakes in this particular desert. They include horned vipers, puff adders, cobras, and an especially lethal serpent known as the carpet viper. But I think the story needs to be understood in its context. The Israelites had just been given victory over the Canaanite king Arad. And now you would think that after such a great victory, that Israel would be grateful. That indeed, God was supplying their every need. But only hours after they had defeated their enemy, destroyed their strongholds and walled city under God's hand of mercy, they begin to grumble and complain against God and their leader Moses. This is what they say. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water. Then the most incredible statement arises from their lips, the most foolish, ill-advised thing they could have said. We detest this miserable food, this sorry old manna. It's hard to believe they could have said that about God's miraculous provision for them. But I think this is our story as well, and I'm guilty of this as well. How quickly we forget God's grace and mercy. How quickly we forget that God has promised to supply our every need. Our ancestors have a long history of forgetting what God had done. And I don't know, maybe it was this point in this part of the journey that the Lord had it with his people. He'd had enough. So the story is he sent snakes and the snakes came and the Israelites found out what a real problem was. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. Many died and many more were bitten. Their hearts had been hardened. In our ministerial meeting on Tuesday, we were talking about this passage and we had a discussion about the difference between grumbling or complaining and lamenting. First, in a lament, you are talking to God, not about God, implying that you still trust God. As verbs, the difference between complaining and lamenting is that to complain is to express feelings of pain, dissatisfaction or resentment, while lamenting expresses grief or weeping or wailing or mourning. Lamenting, and by that I mean true grief, over a broken world, a broken relationship, a death, that is not complaining. Lamenting is aching for a world that is not as it should be. Lamenting is crying out to a God who cares that it's not as if it should, not as it should be. Lamenting is giving appropriate voice to those things that disappoint, those things that grieve. Lamenting can heal our soul because they take us back to God, while complaints lead us into an abyss of discontent and wondering why the manna went bad. Lament gets at the core of the human heart, the dilemma of living out a truth in a broken world. Complaining is about being spiritually snake-bitten. And God is good to us, but we can so easily grumble or keep complaining. God puts bread on our table and water in our glasses, and we can still complain. He blesses us with a place to live, and we still complain. He gives us this beautiful place to live in and worship, and we can still complain. We are spiritually snake-bitten, and we need a cure. We need the divine physician to write us a prescription and fast. So God's word gives us medicine for the cure of the spiritual snake bite. And it goes something like this. Confession plus intercession equals hope. Confession plus intercession equals hope. While many of the Hebrews had died from snake bites, they went to Moses and spoke. We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. That's confession. They confessed they had messed up. They had sinned. They had not had grateful hearts. They had spoken against the Lord. They didn't lament. If we want help, if we're looking for lasting hope, we do need to confess. Confession is not about complaining. Complaining is talking about our circumstances and sometimes other people. Confession is talking about ourselves and our actions. And when we confess, we move things out of our hands into God's hands. And the next dose of medicine we require is intercession. Verse 7. So Moses prayed for the people. Intercession is the job of every spirit-filled child of God. And it does not mean telling God about what someone did to you, which would be complaining. It is asking God to heal, forgive, restore, and lift us up, leading and comfort. Our prayers never go to waste. God hears them and smiles. Moses prayed for the people. Often he was fed up with their attitudes, but he was always willing to stand in the gap for them. He always pleaded their cause in front of the Lord. There were so many times throughout the wilderness narrative that the people complained and spoke out against Moses. And I think as a leader, Moses showed great patience. For instance, in the story of the golden calf, the Lord says to Moses, I have seen these people, and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and I may destroy them. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. Turn from your anger, Lord, and do not bring disaster on your people. As disciples of Christ, we do not have the option of persecuting those who persecute us. We are called to bless them. Matthew writes, and this is hard. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. I read the other day about an Episcopalian priest, and his congregation did a petition saying he was unworthy to be a priest, and everybody had signed it. And he said, give it to me. And he signed it as well. God has forbidden us to repay evil with evil. And the greatest intercessor that ever walked the earth was Jesus. Did people talk about him? Yes. They called him a glutton, a demon possessed, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Did they tell lies about him? Yes. And then they nailed him to the cross. And what did he do? He cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is intercession. And Jesus is still interceding for us. Jesus is still speaking to God in our defense. And he's not only making intercessions for us, he's making intercessions for the whole world. Jesus wants us to be people of praise and of worship, not people of complaining. And the last dose of medicine for spiritual snake bites after confession and intercession is hope. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look on it and live. And that is hope. And Jesus tells us in our gospel reading today, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. The snake on the pole was a prophetic symbol of the cross of Christ. Jesus established a parallel between the serpent on that pole and his own crucifixion on the cross. Just as the serpent on the pole spelled salvation for the Israelites who looked on it, so also Jesus' death on a cross spells salvation for those who look on him. At the end, complaining is greater discontent. At the end of lamenting is the whisper of hope. For at the end of the bitterness and gall is this: yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. Our earthly hope is Christ. Our heavenly hope is Christ. On this fourth Sunday of Lent, let us reflect on the cross, where Christ's death is a path of reconciliation with God for us. It's hard to believe, but our Lord's death does bring hope. I am the living one. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and ever. Revelation 1:18. We have hope because Christ lives. We have hope because Christ has the power to overcome death. As our spiritual ancestors looked upon the serpent on the pole and lived, so we need to look at our Lord's face, and we too shall live. Let us pray. May the Lord show you the greatness of his goodness, that you overflow with thanks every day. May the Lord bless you abundantly with the rest of your heart, power for virtue, wisdom for life, and patience in suffering. May the Lord bless you with joyful hope, and one day with inexpressible joy of eternal life. Amen.